Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Stu McLaren, your host for season 5 of the show, and I'm in studio with Michael Hyatt. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks, Stu. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too. Now, before we got started, we were talking about one of your all-time favorite movies, and I want to share a quote from that movie because it's going to set up the show for today. So this movie is one that I think our viewers are going to be familiar with, and it is Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
One of the best movies of all time.
One of the best movies of all time. And
absolutely.
In particular, I'm going to reference a famous scene between Yoda and Luke Skywalker. And Yoda asks Luke to retrieve his disabled spaceship out of a bog where it has sunk using only his mind.
That would be no challenge for you, but for Luke it was tough.
well, thank you. But Luke reluctantly agrees to try, or to give it a try, to which Yoda famously responds, "No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try." Now, how has that scene impacted you and shaped your outlook on trying?
Well, I, like a lot of people, have said through my life when I was attempting to do something, I'll give that a try, or I'll try to do this. Or I've had people that have worked for me and I've said, can you do this? And they say, well, I'll give it my best shot. You know, I'll try.
Yeah.
Well, I was at a Tony Robbins conference and I saw him do this demonstration that is really amazing. In fact, I've got a film clip in the show notes of the same demonstration, and fair warning, the language is a little rough. But what he does is he has this woman in the audience, and he says to her, she's saying that she's tried everything in her marriage. He said, really, you've tried? He said, yeah, I've tried all kinds of things. And he says, okay, see that chair sitting beside you? He said, I want you to try to pick it up. So she grabs it, she picks it up, and he said, no. I said, try to pick it up, put it back down. You picked it up, put it back down. So she kind of looks confused. She doesn't know what to do. And so she just stands there and he says, now you're not picking it up. I ask you to try to pick it up. And so she goes, she's kind of confused. She's looking around at the crowd. Everybody's kind of confused. She grabs the chair. She picks it up. And he said, you picked it up. I ask you to try to pick it up. Put it back down. Okay. So she stares at it for a while. And he goes back through the same thing. Now you're not picking it up. So he makes the distinction that you either pick it up or you don't pick it up. There's no such thing as trying. I mean, it's just exactly like Yoda. But people do this all the time. So for example, people say this all the time, what they're trying to improve. For example, they might say, are you trying to get in shape or are you getting in shape, right? You know, it's one or the other. Or are you trying to improve your marriage or are you improving your marriage? Or are you trying to make more sales calls or are you actually making more sales calls? So there's a distinction between trying and doing. And as someone once said, trying is basically failure with honor. You know, you're kind of doomed if you say, well, I'm just going to try that. And I listen for that now. People I'm coaching, people I'm consulting, if they say they're going to try to do something, that's a pretty safe bet it ain't going to happen because they're not fully committed.
And it's fascinating how our language shapes our behavior.
Yep.
And our whole mental approach to whatever it is that we're doing. And if, as you said, if trying is part of our vocabulary, it's almost as though we're giving ourselves an out if it doesn't work out.
That's right. That's like why I said it's like failure with honor.
Yeah.
Because if you fail and you don't actually accomplish it, then you can say, well, I tried.
Right.
Which means, I mean, who could fault you for that? You tried. No, you either do it or you don't do it.
And so in this episode, what I want to talk about is how do we go from, quote, trying to achieving? And you have really established 3 parameters to help us escape the trying trap. And I want to talk about those here today, starting with parameter number 1.
Yeah, it's simple. And you said it before, and that is, you know, to notice our language. Our language is critically important. There's a sense in which our language can program us to perform certain things. And if we use the wrong language, if we're not careful about our language, it can create an outcome that we don't intend. Whenever we achieve anything, whenever we create any outcome in the world, it first begins as a thought. Then it gives expression through our words. And then finally, there's an action. And so when the word comes out of our mouth, it's like the first indication of what we've been thinking. And our thoughts create our reality. And our words create our reality. And so to eliminate the word try from our vocabulary is step number 1. And whenever I catch myself saying that, I back up because it's a worthless word. It accomplishes nothing. And it really just, as you said, it leaves us a backdoor or an excuse for not achieving something.
So if, let's say you're, when your kids were growing up, if they came to you and they said, well, I tried to do something, how would you provide feedback for them on that?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't just chastise them right there, but I'd probably want to know more about what they experienced, what they did. You know, I mean, one very good question to ask, you know, when a kid says, well, I've tried everything. Really, everything? Did you try this? Did you try that? I mean, you can run through a litany of things to try to figure out what they tried and what they didn't try. But I think to teach them the importance of words is critically important. Because sometimes, actually, most times, the very thing that enables us to accomplish something significant is our commitment to it. You know, we take a stand for something and we're committed fully to that thing. And when we're committed fully to that thing, amazingly, the outcome catches up with the commitment we've made.
Right.
And this is one of the problems I have with people who don't commit to marriage.
Yep.
You know, and look, I'm not talking about the morality of it, but I'm just saying people that live together, oftentimes those relationships don't work out because there's not that fundamental commitment to a long-term relationship.
It's almost like you're kind of gonna do it, but not really, and you're safeguarding you so that you have a backup plan.
Yeah, we're gonna try this.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. Relationships are hard.
Right.
Especially relationships with somebody that you're intimate with. And the commitment is the very thing that will carry you through. I mean, I've been married for 37 years, and I'm happily married, and I love my wife dearly. And I'm more in love with her today than I was when the day that I walked down the aisle. We just had our anniversary, so this is very fresh in my mind. But I can tell you there were difficult times. You know, our marriage has not been all, you know, strawberries and cream. There have been times when we've been, had very difficult days. You know, arguments, fights, just not getting along.
Yep.
But it was that commitment, that standing for the marriage, realizing that for us, divorce was not an option. And that was the very thing that carried us through. And so I think that commitment in every area of life, you know, is critically important, is often the difference maker, the game changer that carries you through so you can actually do it.
When I think about it too, as you know, I like to try to do extreme adventures and things of that nature. And you really can't try to skydive. I mean, you're either skydiving or you're not skydiving. You know, there's no trying with that. You know, I always think of the, you know, the extreme examples of that. But the key thing here is to eliminate try from your vocabulary.
That's right.
Got it.
Because again, I just want to say this, is that our words have an impact, not only in the people around us, but on ourselves.
Right.
You know, and so even in the context of marriage with my wife, it wouldn't go over very well if I said to Gail, you know, I'm going to try to love you.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what she wants to hear is, I love you.
Right.
I'm committed to loving you. And that's more than words. That's got to be actions. I got to back that up with my actions. But trying doesn't work there, and it doesn't work in most areas.
Right. Well, this is great. And that's the first parameter for us to really escape the trying trap. And in a minute, we're going to come back with the final two parameters that we can use to escape that trying trap. We'll get to those in just a minute.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 Proven Strategies for Creating More Margin for the Things That Matter Most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Welcome back. In this episode, we're talking about why it's time for you to stop trying. And Michael, you've been outlining some parameters for us to be able to escape the trying trap, and so that we're actually doing less trying and more doing. The first parameter was to eliminate the word try from our vocabulary. Let's move on to parameter number two.
Well, this is where we really take Yoda's advice, and either we decide either to do or to not do. Now, look, I don't care. You know, yeah. I don't care if you do it or you don't do it, but just decide. Because how you decide is going to determine the outcome. So if you don't want a better marriage, fine, say so. Don't just say I'm going to try to appease your spouse or appease, you know, your in-laws or anybody else. Do it because you want to do it or don't do it, but there's no middle ground there.
It's like you're drawing a line right in the sand.
Yeah.
And you're either on one side or the other.
It's all about commitment. And I think every great thing in life, everything that we accomplish that's important, begins with a commitment. Now, sometimes we think that the commitment is the result of some other things. You know, we kind of like slip into it and then we'll finally commit. If it works, we'll commit. It's not how it works.
Right.
The big things, the important things in life, we commit to first. Like you didn't say when you had Marla, hey, let's try this parenting thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much committed.
Yeah, you're in at that point.
And when you adopted Sam, same thing. You didn't say, well, you know, let's try this adoption thing, and if it doesn't work out, we'll send him back.
Right.
No, you're fully committed.
Totally. And it's interesting because I remember it's challenging, you know, when having kids, especially young kids. And when we adopted Sam, he was just over a year old at the time. And so we had our daughter Marla, who was four, and our son Sam, who was one. And if any parents listening have more than, you know, one child, they know that the dynamic changes instantly.
Totally, yep.
And, you know, you go from being able to double team parent to now you're man-to-man defense. And then beyond two kids, as our friend Chris would say, then you're in a zone defense at that point. And it was challenging. And I remember when Sam was not sleeping well at night, and both Amy and I are tired, more so Amy, you know, to give her credit, because she was getting up with him in the middle of the night. And she, I remember, said, I can't take this anymore. And I, at that point, I was just like, well, what do we do? Like, we're committed. You know, there's nothing we, you know, we're in this. And of course, you know, she was totally committed, but it was just, there are times when it can be really taxing, but it's that commitment that pulls you through.
Absolutely.
And helps you get through those challenging times. Parenting, marriage, business endeavors, it all comes down to that commitment.
Yeah, you don't really have a back door. You're not allowing yourself any method of retreat. Right. You know, it's kind of back to that story. I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, Cortez's soldiers go into Mexico and he sends back some guys to burn the boats.
Right.
So they know they're fully committed. They're in Mexico for life. The only way is forward. You know, they've got to conquer.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it comes down to a lot in life. I remember sitting at a business review meeting one time asking one of our sales managers, did he think he was going to get his numbers for the month? Mm-hmm. Now, again, I do care whether he says yes or no, and I'm hoping he gives me the right answer. But he said, I'm going to try, which meant that he wasn't committed.
Right.
You know, it was sort of like, I'm going to kind of participate, and if it happens, great, I'll take credit for it. But if it doesn't, I'll blame something else. But he wasn't committed to making it happen.
Well, you guys are really great at this. And then when I say you guys, I'm referring to you and your daughter, Megan.
Mm.
Because I remember one of the first experiences when working with you guys, you love to establish goals. And
I do?
Yes, you guys are the goal people, you know? And it's a good job you have a good course on it too, with Best Year Ever. But one of the things that I found challenging was establishing those stretch goals. Because one of the things that I love to do when I'm working with somebody is I like to under-promise and over-deliver.
Right.
So I remember distinctly you were asking for a good goal, a better goal, and the best goal. And my thought was, well, I'll give them my better goal as my best goal. And then so when I think that we'll exceed that, you know, we'll be over-delivering. And each time you guys have kind of caught on to my act, and now
yes, we have.
You really pushed me to commit to that, you know, that higher goal right from the onset. And what I've learned through that experience is through that commitment, it creates confidence from others. It's like we're standing for this. We're going to do whatever we absolutely can to make that happen. Whereas if I think if we were just trying to reach that goal, there's not the real sense that we're going to do whatever we can to make it happen.
Yeah, and it really doesn't bring out the best work in others. It's not inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody says, well, let's try to do this. I mean, that same guy that told me in the sales meeting he was going to try to get his numbers for that month, you know, if he went back to his team and said, hey, guys, I got some great news. We're going to try to achieve our sales numbers. Well, okay, so what?
Yeah.
You know, it's not inspiring. But if he paints a picture of a bigger, better future,
yep.
And he says, here's why this is important, and we're absolutely going for it, we're going to do it, here are the reasons why, that suddenly becomes compelling.
Right.
Especially if it connects it to their future, right? You know, their bonus or something they want to achieve, then all of a sudden it becomes compelling.
Yep.
So as a leader, there's nothing compelling about trying. You got to commit. This is what makes the great leaders from the not so great leaders, mm-hmm. is the great leaders are willing to commit, even in the face of uncertainty, even when they fear or they feel fear themselves, they're not sure they have what it takes, they're willing to put a stake in the ground and saying, this is what we're going to do. And I think part of the issue, Stu, is that people have this tremendous fear of failure.
Right. Especially public failure in today's social media landscape and so forth.
But I mean, what's the real consequence?
Right.
You know, usually it's not that significant.
Yep.
We learn something from it at the very least. But I think there's a big risk of failure when we don't commit. And so I would rather commit and fail and process the failure and learn from it than to hang back, play it safe, and never really achieve anything of any consequence.
Absolutely. So that's parameter number two, which is decide either to do or not to do. There's no in between, which is the trying. Okay, what's the third parameter for us?
Commit 100% to the outcome you want.
And this is what we were talking about before with the goal specifically.
Yep.
You were saying, listen, dude, commit. If you're going to, let's pick a number and commit to it and go all out for it.
Let's play full out.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe in that. And I think so many people, they kind of make this loose commitment. They're going to try. And then when there's adversity, and there's always adversity.
Yeah.
No matter how big the goal is or how small, if it's an important goal, you're going to experience adversity on your way to it. There are going to be obstacles. And unless you're committed to playing full out, you're not going to have the head of steam that you need to make it all the way through.
Right.
And so 100% commitment is important in order to get through the messy middle, to get through the obstacles.
Well, I remember specifically with our most recent Best Year Ever campaign, I got to admit, I was nervous going into that because we had committed to a goal and I really wanted us to achieve that as a team because I had hit that milestone with other projects in the past. And I just knew the significance of crossing that certain milestone for our team.
Yep.
But I remember when we initially did the planning, we had a variety of different upsells in our sales process that would largely contribute to the final goal. And as we were getting closer, we decided for a variety of reasons that those were just not a fit. And there were two upsells. I don't know if you remember this.
I do remember
specifically.
That, yeah.
That were contributing a large portion of the revenue for this goal. And I remember feeling inside of me like, oh my goodness, like this is gonna be a real challenge to hit this goal, given that huge chunks of revenue are not gonna be there from projected revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that commitment to the goal. And miraculously, because we stayed committed to the goal, we found other creative ways to be able to find new resources, new ideas came to us. And it was just a great lesson to me. Like, we become most creative when we're most desperate.
Yes.
You know, when we had pulled back, we had to come up with new ideas, new strategies. And as a result, those have been huge contributions to our overall strategy now and completely changed the direction. But it wouldn't have happened if we weren't 100% committed to that goal.
Yeah, when you're only trying, you never get the opportunity to do that because you've built in the possibility of failure and you've made it respectable to walk off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing I see over and over again is people walking off the field, just quitting before the whistle blows. And we've done a whole episode on that, so I won't repeat that here. But to stay on the field, fully engaged, playing full out till the whistle blows.
Yep.
Because you don't know the future.
Right.
You don't know where resources will come from. You don't know if suddenly you'll stumble on something that just blows the whole thing wide open, which has happened to us a number of times.
Yep.
But you can't see that from the beginning, and you're definitely not going to see it unless you're committed.
Absolutely.
To an outcome.
Well, for everybody listening, if they are stuck in the trying trap, you've given them three great parameters to escape that. Number one, eliminate the word try from your vocabulary. Number two, decide either to do or not to do. And number three, commit 100% to the outcome you want. As we look to wind down this episode, one of the things that most often keeps us stuck at trying rather than doing is we just don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So as we conclude this episode, can you give us some examples of first steps we can take to really start doing something in a few key areas of our life?
Yeah, well, let's look at some examples from different areas of our life. So like strengthening a marriage. You know, I think where I would start there, if I was going to do and not try, is I would first of all check my intention. Mm. Am I fully committed to this? I would eliminate the word, you know, we're going to try to make this work. I would take the leadership position. Whether I was the man or the woman, I would take the leadership position and I would say, we are absolutely going to make this marriage work. I'm totally committed to that. I don't know how. I'm not going to pretend to know how, but it starts with my commitment.
And in today's society, I think that that is lost in marriage.
I do too.
It's just that stake in the ground commitment to making it work.
Yep.
And finding a way. Because, you know, it's just become easy to back out of relationships and to back out of a lot of things in life. But really strengthening that marriage comes down to that commitment.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think once you've made that commitment, to even list a bunch of whys. You know, why is this important? What's at stake here? You know, because the truth is, if I don't stay in this relationship, I'm not going to learn the lessons I need to learn to become a better human being.
Right.
Because the truth is, anybody can stay in a relationship that's easy. That requires no growth on my part. It requires no learning. It requires no compromise. Nothing has to change. I just stay the same. But when I'm in a more difficult relationship, which is basically with any other human being,
yeah.
Right? Because they're different than I am. That requires me to change, to evolve, to become more than I am. And that's a good, good thing.
Right.
So I would start in marriage with that intention. Then the whole future opens up. You can take a course. You can read a book. You can get counseling or therapy, all of which I've done. You can decide to have fun together, create meaningful experiences. There are a bunch of things that you can do, but that's only going to become possible if you stop trying and start doing. So that's just an example for marriage.
Yeah, and I think that commitment is a real key point. And recently I had a friend of mine who had a challenge with her significant other, and she was actively seeking advice from others. And I just commended her, you know, for being proactive about it, you know, seeking outside advice and guidance and counsel, because a lot of people just don't do that. They don't commit to it, but she was fully committed. She said, I want to make this relationship work. I'm going to make this relationship work. And I'm trying to find as many insights from as many different people who have relationships that are working. Yeah, it was great.
It starts with that commitment.
Commitment, absolutely. Okay, so strengthening your marriage is one example of how we could implement this in our life. What's another?
Another one's becoming a better parent.
I love this one.
Now, the truth is, most of us haven't had much training.
Right. Zero training.
Zero training.
Yeah.
You know, we grow up in the homes we grow up in, and our parents probably do the best they can, but they're not perfect parents.
Yep.
And we don't have a wider range of experience, right? We only learn from the two people or the one person who raised us, and that's all we got.
Right.
So, I think it begins with that commitment. You know, I want to give to my kids a better future than I had. I want to give to them every advantage I can give to them to be successful, to realize their potential.
Mm-hmm.
So making that commitment. And this is an easy one to make a commitment because you're not going to bail.
Right.
You know, at some point you're not going to say, okay, that's it. I'm done.
You guys are on your own.
Yeah. You know, you may feel that way,
yeah.
but you're not going to do that if you're a responsible parent.
Right.
So then the same thing begins again, like we were talking about in marriage. What are the resources that are available? I've got the commitment. Now, what are the resources that are available?
Yeah.
You know, I know a man who's, and he and his wife adopted a couple kids with some very traumatic backgrounds, and they've had a real challenge raising those kids, but they're totally committed. You know, they're not going to return the kids.
Right.
So they're getting counseling, they're getting in-home training, they're getting every advantage they can to be the best parents they can. They're not trying.
Right.
They're doing it. And they're going to be successful because they are doing it.
And I think, too, once you make that commitment, you all of a sudden have this awareness of outside resources that can help you
Yes.
strengthen that commitment. So, for example, my wife and I, we right from the onset wanted to be amazing parents and wanted to.
You are amazing parents. Well, I gotta say.
I appreciate that, and we're still learning. You know, I'm still learning, and every age has new opportunities to learn.
Yes, it does.
But I remember when we decided that we were going to have children and we wanted to raise great kids. One of the things that immediately became aware to us were families where they had kids that were the kind of children that we wanted to raise. And there was one specific example where my wife was a grade one teacher. She taught grade one for 8 years. Mm. And so she saw firsthand many examples of different parenting styles and how that played out with the kids in the classroom. And there was one particular little boy that she never forgot. His name was Jack. And Jack, she said, was like the ultimate little boy. He was polite. He helped everybody. He was smart. He always came with like a positive attitude. And so she, at one parent meeting, my wife asked his parents, like, what do you do at home? Jack is the most delightful little boy. And they were talking about, they shared with Amy some great examples of what they're intentionally doing as parents to be better parents, to raise great kids. And, you know, one of the little, as a little example, and I know you've heard this before because I think Dave Ramsey talks about it, but they talked about how when they give their kids allowance, they have three jars. Save, spend, and give. Mm-hmm. And that was a new concept to us at the time. And we were like, that's amazing. And then every month, he, you know, collects his, what he's accumulated in his give jar, and he goes and gives it somewhere else. And we thought, we're absolutely doing that with our kids. And I think, so once you make that commitment, you become aware of opportunities to learn and to pull resources from outside people that can help you strengthen that commitment.
That's perfect. And sometimes the resources don't appear until you made the commitment.
Right.
So that's another reason why the commitment's important.
Awesome. Okay, so strengthening your marriage, becoming a better parent are two great examples of this in action. What about any others?
Yeah, here's one, improving your health.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know, you hear people want to try this all the time. You know, I want to try to get in shape. I want to try to lose some weight. I want to try to quit smoking. And they end up going nowhere because they're never fully engaged. They're never fully committed.
Yep.
And I would just encourage people that are listening to this podcast, if they want an improvement in their health, stop trying, start doing, and get committed. Mm-hmm. And just begin by eliminating the word from your vocabulary. So instead of saying, I'm going to try to eat better, just eat better.
Right.
Okay. And if you fail at it, you know, if you go backwards, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. You process it, you move on. But at no time do you need to protect yourself by saying trying. Just do it.
Well, when I was 8 years old, I was attending a school assembly. And there was, I can't even remember who it was, but they came and gave a presentation on smoking and the health implications of smoking and how it leads to lung cancer. And obviously that can lead to death and so forth. And so I came home, and as a little 8-year-old boy, this was just like racing through my mind because my dad smoked at the time. And one night he came to put me to bed and I was crying. And he came up and he said, what is wrong? Like, why are you crying? And I said, you're going to die. And he's like, what? I said, you're going to die. And he's like, why am I going to die? And I said, because you smoke, you're going to die. And that had an amazing effect on him.
I'll bet.
And he didn't try to stop smoking. He immediately stopped smoking the next day. And I'll never forget that moment because he had tried before that. But that day, it was like he committed, and that was it.
That was it.
And I think it comes back to something you said before. It's the why behind the commitment. You know, once you get really in touch with that why, it really strengthens the commitment.
Totally does. And again, eliminating that word try just eliminates that back door that keeps you from succeeding.
Right. Awesome. So improving your health is another great example. What's the final one?
Yeah, here's another one, winning at work. Now, people may be skeptical about that. They say, you know, I've moved up as high as I can in my organization. But what if you haven't?
Right.
You know, what if you made the commitment that you were going to advance in your career? Maybe you're going to learn different skills. And once you made the commitment, you're going to bring in other resources. You're going to get career counseling. You're going to take a course. You know, something that makes you more valuable to your organization so that you're more likely to get promoted. But again, it begins with the commitment. So I think for everybody, regardless of the sphere of life it's in, begin with that intention. What is it that you want? What are you committed to? And then be on the lookout for the resources. If you were committed, what would be the next thing you would do?
Because I think of an example in your life in particular. You know, you had rose through the ranks in the corporate world, CEO of major publishing company. I mean, that's as high as you can go, but yet it wasn't for you. Because for you, once you had gotten there, you realized there's a lot of things about that that you loved and enjoyed, but there was another side of it for you in terms of now creating, it was creating havoc in terms of your lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted a different lifestyle. And so you committed to a completely different work environment, if you will, going out and being an entrepreneur. And so it was like you were saying, even though you think you may have reached the top level, there's probably another option.
Absolutely. And I remember at the time people were saying to me, my friends were saying to me, oh, so you're going to retire. No, I'm not going to retire. And by that they meant, so you're going to kind of step it down, gear it down, you know, kind of land
coast.
The plane,
yeah.
Coast. And I'm like, no. And today I'll say, I'm having greater impact, making more money, have a much bigger future than I had back then. When at the time it seemed like I'd crested the tallest mountain and there was no future. But it again began with that commitment. And I think to stand for that better future, that bigger future, and then see where that gets you.
Awesome. Well, my friend, I want to thank you. And I want to thank everybody listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, you can find the show notes over at michaelhyatt.com. You can also see the video version of today's show at michaelhyatt.com. And I would love to ask you if you could do us a quick favor. It'll take you 30 seconds. If you can just jump over to iTunes and rate the podcast for us, that would be awesome. Because what we're trying to do is just get the show in front of more great people like you. And when you rate it, that helps us get the show in front of more people. So if you could do that, that'd be awesome. Michael, as we wind down today's episode on eliminating trying from our vocabulary, our life, and so forth, and really committing to actually doing and taking more action, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would say just be alert for how that sneaks in.
Hmm.
And you may say, well, it doesn't really matter. This isn't a big deal. But we're practicing. And we're training our minds and training our will to do really important stuff. So just be alert to that word sneaking in and eliminate it. Just commit. Go ahead and commit.
Awesome. Well, thank you, my friend. This was a great episode.
Thank you.
Thank you to the listener. And remember, until next time, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.